So may you set your hearts on listening to the Dhamma and these teachings of the Buddha. And may you sit in meditation, practicing while listening to this Dhamma. So Dhamma is nature. And nature is here within our bodies and minds. So like we've practiced here for the last 6 days now. We've brought our bodies here. We're practicing the Dhamma. And Dhamma, it's this Namma Dhamma, it's immaterial. And it's something which is subtle. So we need to use our minds, which are subtle, to be able to know that. And when the mind knows, then in order for it to know, it needs to have these two qualities of sati, mindfulness, recollection, sampajanya, this clear awareness. So when we listen to the Dhamma, then we should establish our minds in this present moment. So we know the in-breath, we know the out-breath, or we're reciting Buddha. Because if we do that, then while listening to these teachings, sometimes peace, brightness can arise. In the time of the Buddha, there were bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, lay men, lay women who listened to the Dhamma. And sometimes just the first teaching they listened to, they realized stream entry, sotapanna, or for some, arahantship. And that was due to the peace that they had in their minds. That while they were listening, their minds weren't off thinking about the past or the future, but they were firmly here in the present moment. And so they were able to know all the things which entered into their minds at that time. So therefore, when we practice, then we should have these qualities of mindfulness and clear awareness within our minds constantly. And when we do that, then we're able to gain an understanding into the principles of the Dhamma. And some people who do this, they practiced already, and this joy arises, and understanding comes up, and they feel this, feel profoundly affected by this practice and these teachings. And really, all we need to do is just to make our mindfulness and clear awareness even, to be bringing up effort constantly from the time we wake up until right now, to be having mindfulness, this clear awareness over that time. And these are the qualities which bring great benefit right from the beginning of the path until Nibbana. These qualities of mindfulness and clear awareness. Venerable Ajahn Chah, he'd said that whenever we are mindful, then right at that time, we are listening to the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha. And when we have this mindfulness and clear awareness, when form contacts the eye, or when there's sound which comes in through the ear, the odors through the nose, tastes with the tongue, these tactile sensations with the body or an object appears within the mind, then due to that mindfulness, we won't allow the mind to go off into liking or disliking towards that. And this is a practice which is never wrong. It's only correct. And so we just need to do that. We need to have this mindfulness, this clear awareness when our eye sees a form. And so when it does, we can ask ourselves, are our minds proliferating about this? Are they thinking about the past, thinking about the future? Are they liking or disliking this, giving rise to happiness or sadness over this? And so Ajahn Chah said that we should teach our minds whenever our minds meet with an object. Whenever we feel this happiness, elatedness, sadness, whatever it is, that we should be teaching our minds that this is something which is not sure, this doesn't last. This is something which comes and then goes. Well, Ajahn Buddhadasa said that it's just that. It's merely this. It's just arising and ceasing. It's just the nature of paticca-samuppada, this dependent origination, this nature to arise, stay for a bit, and then cease. The thing is, our minds need to know that for what it is while it's happening. And for that, we need to train in mindfulness to keep the mind in the present moment until it becomes automatic. Because when the defilements arise, they arise automatically. And if our mindfulness isn't automatic, then we won't be able to see them for what they are. And that when our minds like something, then we become delighted. They dislike something, then we become upset. And we just go between these two feelings, back and forth, back and forth. So therefore we need to understand this truth of arising and ceasing. And when our mindfulness and our clear awareness is firm, collected, then we'll be able to see this nature, which means that the mind is gathered together. And when the mind is gathered together like this, then there's both this peace within the mind and also vipassana, and this insight. And gain an understanding into the objects of the mind, and letting go will appear. So when we know in line with truth, then we know these principles of the Buddha's teachings. So we need to be following those principles. And so like right view, all of the aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path, we shouldn't have doubts about this. Is this right? Is this wrong? But we just follow those principles. And these principles of all of the aspects of this Eightfold Path, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, is virtue, collectedness, and wisdom. And when we do that, then we will know and see the Dhamma. But this knowing and seeing, it depends upon causes. If our causes are good, then the results will be good. If we put in incredible effort, then what we experience will be incredible. But we need to practice. And so perhaps for us, in the practice that we've done so far, maybe sometimes we feel peaceful, sometimes we don't. And perhaps we feel all different kinds of things within our hearts. But whatever it is, we tell ourselves that this is not sure. This is always changing. We need to be teaching ourselves like this. So our hearts don't go off concocting, bringing up the past, speculating about the future. But we have ourselves established in this present moment. We have this quality of mindfulness here in the present moment. So for us to be able to know and understand, to relieve all our doubts, that happens in this present moment. So we should be practicing right from the time that we wake up, making our mindfulness consistent. When we eat, then we're mindfulness of that. We try to speak little. And if we speak little, then it's easier for us to look after our mindfulness. If we speak a lot, then it's hard to maintain this mindfulness. And so we can, throughout the period of this retreat, just not speak at all. And so when eating, when drinking, when walking meditation, when sitting in meditation, should try to look after our mindfulness and make this consistent. This is something that Ajahn Chah said that we should do to try to make this mindfulness consistent. And he said that if we do that, then we don't need to worry about samadhi. The samadhi will just arise. And samadhi, it's the peace of the mind. When our mindfulness is firm, then this peace of samadhi comes up. But it also depends upon a foundation of sila, of our virtue. And when we keep our precepts well, and then we've let go of the more coarse kinds of bad karma. And then we come to create samadhi, knowing the breath or reciting Buddho. Or we have this just clear knowing within our hearts, knowing what's happening and knowing the movements of the body. So whether standing, walking, sitting, lying down, then we are aware of that. So we have this mindfulness, being aware of what's going on, trying to make this consistent. And so when this mindfulness and this clear awareness is consistent, then wisdom will arise. And wisdom is a knowing of the Dhamma in line with truth, a knowing that everything which arises is of the nature to cease. And even though initially this may not be clear for us, perhaps it's just on the level of listening or of thinking, but if we carry on meditating without stopping, then this will turn into the wisdom that arises from our meditation. And this, it's a really important kind of wisdom. That when we practice, then our wisdom turns into the wisdom that comes from inner cultivation. Because the wisdom that arises from listening, from thinking, it's not capable of abandoning the sense of self, of cutting this fetter of Sakkaya Ditti, of self-view. For that, we need to have the wisdom that comes from meditation. And in order to get that, we follow these principles and this way of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. And so really it's just like when we experience something, when the eye sees a form, for instance, then we don't allow the mind to go off into liking or disliking towards it. And that we know that all of these sensory experiences are things which arise and cease. And that arising and ceasing happens, but the mind stays stable. So we can compare this mind to being like a bridge then. So the bridge over the water. And the water may rise and it may fall, but the bridge doesn't rise and fall with it. And so whatever it is that the mind experiences, whether it's pleasant states, whether it's unpleasant states, you make the mind stable, that it doesn't run after those experiences. We make it just like that bridge over the water, and the water rising, sometimes falling, sometimes, but the bridge doesn't go up and down with it. So when we practice like this, then we will know and see the Dhamma, which is that we know and see nature. We know and see this nature of arising and ceasing. So our Buddha awakened through his own efforts that he didn't have anyone to teach the Dhamma to him. And he had to understand that by himself. But for us, being disciples of the Buddha, that we rely upon beings to tell us about it. Because when the Buddha reached his awakening, then he taught the Dhamma to the people. And so having listened to the Dhamma, then we practice, we train our bodies, our speech, and our minds. And so that knowledge appears, its insight appears, light appears within the mind. But in the beginning, there are obstacles, and that's just normal. That when we go against the stream of the world, and we're trying to go into the stream of the Dhamma, that we'll meet with things that oppose us. But the Buddha taught us to have endurance and to have effort. Because the Dhamma that a perfectly self-awakened Buddha taught, if it was impossible for humans to practice and achieve to that Dhamma, then the Buddha just wouldn't have taught it. But the fact that he did shows that it's possible for us to do this. It's just that we haven't got to that point yet. It's like for us coming to practice that all of us have some degree of samadhi, but the samadhi that we have just hasn't reached the level it needs to be yet. Our efforts aren't quite constant yet. But when it does become constant, then peace arises within the heart. And so we try to make that consistent. So right from the time that we wake up, we establish our mindfulness well. In these 1 or 2 days that are left, you can try not speaking and just being aware over your own hearts throughout that period. And then peace will arise. And then when peace arises, and then we can see this, it comes up within our own hearts, and it's really incredible there. And previously we may have thought that peace is something external, but now we know that it's within our own hearts. It's just perhaps for us we haven't yet found it, but when we practice, then we will get there. It's important to do so, to be practicing without putting stress on ourselves, without having too high goals or be asking for too much, until it gets to the point where our minds just aren't present. Because we need to be establishing our minds here in this present moment, to be knowing here, to know the things which are arising, and to see how they're inconstant, how they're changing, how they arise, how they cease. If the mind likes what's happening, then we tell ourselves it's not sure. If it dislikes it, we tell ourselves it's not sure. We teach our minds in this way. And so we see all the various things that we experience. These arise, they stay for a while, and then they cease. And when we do this, then the eye of Dhamma will gradually appear within our hearts through seeing that truth, through seeing this conditioned body is of the nature to arise and stay for a bit and cease. So for us, that we still have our breath, we still have our life, means that we're very fortunate. We've been born as a human, we've met with the teachings of the Buddha. And even though we weren't born in time to meet the Buddha, we have met with his teachings. And we also have these awakened teachers in this lineage of awakening that's been passed down from the time of the Buddha till this present moment. And so we have this chance to listen to these teachings. And having listened, then we put them into practice with all of the ability that we have. And when we use our full capacity and our abilities, then the results won't be absent. When the causes are good, then the results need to be good. It's just like when we plant a tree. That we water that tree, and we protect it from insects, that we put fertilizer onto it, and then it grows. But if we plant a tree and we don't look after it, we don't water it, and then it may well die. And so the mind is like this. When we practice the Dhamma, we need to forbear. We need to maintain our efforts. Because this life of ours is steadily fading away. This body of ours has arisen, and it will have to cease. So therefore, the Buddha told us to contemplate this, how having been born, we're of the nature to grow old, to sicken, to die, to be separated from the things that we like and love, and that we have our kamma as our belongings, that whatever it is that we do, that we'll receive the results of that. So we should contemplate this. Contemplate this each day in order for bringing the mind to peace. And when we gain an understanding, then this can profoundly affect the hearts. And we can gain a deep inspiration into the teachings of the Buddha. Well, to put this shortly, it means that the Dhamma has arisen within the heart. So right from the beginning of the path to the end of the path, our progress depends upon our practice of the Dhamma. And where do we practice? We practice right here, in our body, in our speech, and in our minds. Because we still are breathing, so therefore we can still be creating merit, creating skillful deeds. When this body is out of breath, then it's just the four elements just go their separate ways, following nature. But while we have this breath, while we have a body, we shouldn't be heedless, but we should try to create goodness. Even though we may not have much in the ways of material wealth, but we can be creating sila, samadhi, and panya. We can be creating noble wealth within our hearts. Because the end of the body is death, but the end of the mind is practicing until we know and we see and we reach Nibbana. And that happens right here within our own bodies and minds. So therefore, may you set your hearts on this practice to be firm in not being careless. And how does one do that? We have our mindfulness, recollection, sampajanya, clear awareness. And if we carry on with that, we are aware of the breath, or we recite Buddha, keep that in the mind constantly, then unskillful qualities are not able to arise. That all that will be present will be skillful qualities. And this Buddha, right, the one who knows, the awakened one, the joyful one, will appear within the heart. So the Buddha awakened, gained his enlightenment in India. And we speak about that in an external way. But in truth, the Buddha gained enlightenment within his own heart. So therefore, all of us, we have hearts as well. And when we train them well, then we'll also get to know and to see the Dhamma of the Buddha. And this is the Dhamma which the Buddha has taught well. All we have to do is follow this Eightfold Path, follow Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, and then all of this will gather together in the heart. So therefore, it's really important for us to care for our minds well. In this mind, it's the leader. And so when we look after our minds well, and we create good actions just naturally. So therefore, we need to look after, to care for these minds. And this is something which is really important, to be caring for the mind. So when we receive these teachings on Dhamma, we should reflect on them within our own hearts. And then an understanding will appear. There'll be the arising of samadhi, the arising of wisdom, and this happens within the heart. And so when this wisdom arises, it depends upon the samadhi that we have. And then when that comes up, then we use it to contemplate the body. And this, we can let go of this sakkaya ditti, this self-view, which is a very significant attachment that we have towards this body. We can let go of that bit by bit. And we let go of our doubts as well. And we're able to keep pure sila. And here then, the eye of the Dhamma, it grows and grows within the heart. So when we practice consistently, the mind gathers together into apana samadhi, this access samadhi. And then when it leaves that state, we use the energy to contemplate this body in order to know its truth, and we'll gain an understanding of it. Therefore, the teachings that I have given you, may all of you contemplate those until it fruits in the arising of samadhi and wisdom. It fruits in you gaining the eye of the Dhamma, and this growing until you're able to reach the end of all suffering. And may this happen within this very life. But if it doesn't happen in this life, then what you're creating are the causes and conditions, that you're forging your own character, and that if in the future life you're born as a human again, then you'll have this merit and this character trait in that life to support you in your practice of the Dhamma. So may all of you grow in this path of Dhamma.